All right, the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles again to the book of John chapter 3. I want to start from there today. In fact, I have a number of verses or portions of the Bible I would like to read. Just wondering which one we should start with. Let's start again from that book of John chapter 3. No, let's start from the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Then we'll just refer to that John chapter 3 briefly. It's good to go here and there reading the Word of God. I just want to pick a number of important verses here. We're not going to read everything. Just a few verses do I want. Let's just start from verse 1. And why I want to start from verse 1 actually is because I want to just read some of the things that the Lord does. So thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. That's what he's saying to Cyrus. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Now, notice verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Actually, this is why I'm reading this. I am the Lord. That is, I'm going to do all of these things in your life. I want you to understand something. Verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising of to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. He said, I am the Lord, and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all this. I'm going to stop reading this portion here. Notice what he said there. I am the Lord who does all this. Now, one of the things you will learn from the Bible is to check two things. In fact, that's what I began to do as we've been meditating on this over the last many weeks. After teaching last Saturday here, I decided, I told my wife, there is a risk. Many times people hear things, but they don't take it to heart to obey them. Many times I tell people, when you get home, say to your house, peace be upon this home. I wonder how many people remember to do it. It's very important. To hear the word is one thing, to obey it is another. That word must be kept in your heart until it produces obedience. Until the obedience comes out, the blessing in the word is not manifested. Bear that in mind. No matter how much you love the word, no matter how much you think you are paying attention to it, the word has to fill you up to a level that it erupts. And the eruption, two things, two areas. One is in your words, and number two, in the actions you take based on the words you have heard. Until you do those actions, no matter how much you seem to be convinced and love that word in your heart, the blessing in the word is denied you. Are you getting my point here? Very, very important. All right, that just by the way. So just why I went to do that is this. So many times, you know, we began to teach here. And then I'm talking about this name of God thing off and on for some time. And this Pursuit of God series, we now began to look in details again about it, into it. And last time I said to people, look, read your Bible to know the acts of God. Not just for the act's sake, but for the God of the act's sake. That is, the God who did those things. Read the Bible to know his name. And last week, earlier on this week, I began to do it. I took my Bible, I began to mark it. I started from Genesis, I also went to Revelation. My wife came yesterday and said, I found one for you. Is that from Deuteronomy or something? You were telling me about it. And I said, let me find how to mark my Bible, mark everything. And so that sometimes I'll just sit down and start jumping from verse to verse. And what am I marking? The places where God is called any name at all. and a place where his deeds are ascribed to him. Now, you see what I'm trying to say here? You see, that's the most important thing I have found out in recent times, that we believers must get out of the scriptures. We must know, you know, I've said it again and again. Last time I actually spent a lot of time explaining it, that Christianity is receiving from God. It's not how to do something. It is how to receive from him. You know, just like you said now, can you believe somebody said, why should I be sick? After all, I gave something so valuable like this to the church, that is, as to God. Somebody lied to that individual. They said, you will do something for God, and then God will be provoked, as he's in a worry man. God will be provoked to come and bless you. You know, I don't know how much you ministered to that individual. I hope you were firm in it, that this is the reason why you are sick. God has to let you know that that is not the offering. I hope you said it straight like that. We now know, of course, we knew from the beginning it didn't work like that. I'm about to get distracted. Let me not go into that area. Let me just stop there. So we have realized that that's not the truth. The truth is that Christianity is how to receive. When we come to him, we don't have any claim beyond the fact that we know he promised and is a faithful God and we have believed. That if we come to him and say, Lord, see our hands open. You say you will do it. Do it in our lives. You say you have done it. We believe it. We say amen. That's what Christianity is. It is not what to do so that God will be provoked to bless me back. No. Christianity is that God has packaged all his blessings. And we discussed it last time, that what is now demanding of us is focus on me. Focus on me. Know me. And when I talk about know me, you know, before we wonder, how can you know God? Is it that he's going to be your friend, you hang out, you share a bowl of pepper soup, you know, and some drinks together? No, that's not how it is. How you get to know him, and we saw it with the life of Moses. In that Exodus 33 into 34 that we read, Moses said, God, let's get very familiar. I want to see you. And God said, all right, what we're going to do is this. The physical manifestation is not what you need. You cannot see my face in that regard and leave. So I'm going to have some physical manifestation. You will feel my mighty hand pick you up, put you in the crack of a rock and cover you. Then I'll pass by and you'll see my effect. But this is my face that you actually need. And God was passing and he began to declare his name, the Lord God, the merciful God who forgives iniquity. And he talked about it. And by knowing those names or that name of God, he got to know the face of God. We've been talking about that. Christianity, that's why this Bible is so important. Have it, hold it, read it, obey it. Are you getting my point? Most importantly, focus on it, read it, and look for, that's what I was talking about, the obedience. Because I heard myself preach. I told my wife, let me not miss the blessing. I heard myself preach these words. Let me obey it also. Let me go into my Bible and find out the names of God, the acts of God, the deeds ascribed to his name. Listen, that's what he wants. Ascribe to the Lord greatness. Ascribe to him the deeds. Are you getting my point? The glory that is due his name. And you cannot ascribe to him except you read through the scriptures and understand it. And when he's talking about knowing God, that's what he means. Know what God is in your life. Are you getting my point? Know where he is in your life. And each time, there's some scriptures I want to read. You will see these people, God will speak to a man like Abraham, a man like Isaac. After that, you will hear that they built an altar and gave the altar the name of the Lord. They called the altar Jehovah Nissi. That this is a God, our banner, the Lord, our banner. Why? He said he will continually fight the Amalekites until he has wiped them out because of us. So they gave the altar a name. And what does that altar signify? It's a recognition of who God is in their lives. So that altar, anytime they see that altar, and that altar literally, it's a pile of stones upon which they offered an offering. It is there. And so as an Israelite is passing, he will see that pile of stones and he will remember the name of God. And once he calls, and I'm going to read that again. Once he calls upon that name, there is a manifestation of the power of God that he will experience constantly. That is the effort. We talked about it last time, that we must pursue this eternal life. Jesus said in that John chapter 17, when he was praying for them, this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Those are the two persons we are supposed to know, and they are one. You will look at the face of Christ, you will discover God the Father in him. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. So why that is Isaiah chapter 45? God said here, I am God. He said, I'm going to do things in the life of Cyrus. Why am I doing those things in the life of Cyrus? He said, I want you to know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. There's a name inside there, a number of names. It's also said, if you go down to verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will guide you, though you have not known my name. Go to verse 6, that men may know that from the rising of the sun, God wants them to know something. From the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I want them to know. If they don't know it, they go mad. If they don't know it, calamity comes into their system. If they don't know it, a man will wake up in the morning and says he's in love with another man. That's just the way it is. And they start fighting for the right to marry themselves. If they don't know it, that I am God and there is no other, one day they will wake up and natural disasters will wipe them out. If they don't know it and acknowledge it, what will happen is that they will wake up and a man will take a gun and start shooting his neighbor. If they don't realize it, why did God do this? He said, I need you to know I am God and there is no other. Listen, how do you describe that true God now? He has one name by which you must describe him first and add every other thing to him. What is that thing you must describe? Who is the true God? He is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. That is the only name he recognizes first of all, before, in this dispensation, you can add anything to him. He doesn't want to hear, I am God of Abraham. He doesn't want to hear you describe him first of all as the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of Israel. Those are names he doesn't like to hear. Before you use those names, you must first recognize him as God, the Father of the Lord Jesus. If anybody tells you, all religion is the same, tell them that until you recognize that the God we are talking about is God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, you have not yet properly acknowledged him. It's only after you have done that, you can call him Creator God. That name God, you must understand, everybody lays claim to it. So there must be identity concerning the God you are talking about. Everybody lays claim to it. That's under the law and the prophets, the old dispensation. That's a good expression there. Under the old dispensation, to the Jews, he will call himself God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he has united everybody under one name now. And that is the name of Jesus. We must recognize him and describe him properly. That's why you read the book of Acts. You have heard of Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Look, you have to hear of Jesus so that you can describe God properly. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? Because everybody claims to be God. So under the old dispensation, he called himself the God of Abraham. He called himself the God of Isaac. He called himself the God of Jacob. You know why he did that? Those were people they recognized. God would not have, listen, come to Africa then, and come to Enugu, and say, who the people? I am the God of Abraham. They believe, what did you say? I am the God of Isaac. They will look like, nah, which one will be Isaac? Are you getting my point? Those are statements that will cause confusion to somebody who is not a descendant of Abraham, or an associate of Abraham. It's a cause of confusion to them. Are you getting my point? So what he does each time is to walk with somebody and describe himself by that name. Because everybody will try to lay claim to God, who God is. Let me give an example. God shows us here that he used Cyrus, anointed him. Cyrus did not even know who he was. Are you getting my point? Now what will now happen is simple. After some time, Cyrus will probably get up like Nebuchadnezzar before him. Is this not Babylon the Great? That I, God, that's it. He becomes God. I built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. Do you know Darius? Now, there's a confusion of which one of them is Cyrus and Darius. Sometimes the names are used interchangeably. Sometimes they refer to different people. There was a time Darius, they came and told him, you know, you are the God that does these things. He said, how do you know? Ah, sir, we know God when we see one. How do I know the story? That is the story of, the lion's den. Daniel. It was the story of the lion's den. That was how Daniel ended up in the lion's den. What happened? I will tell you, this was what happened. The men came and said, let nobody pray to any other God apart from you for 30 days. It was an experiment. They threw down a challenge. Why? They came to the king and said, you are God. You have power. And even he was surprised. A whole God does not even know his God. What's going on here? They said, sir, my Lord, let me prove it to you. So the people in his kingdom, they were supposed to pray to him and watch out for results. Until today, we still do it. I mean, no disrespect. That's how Catholics prove that somebody is a saint. They must pray through the person and see two credible miracles that the fellow is canonized. That's also happened then. The same thing. And what was God trying to say here? Many times when I do things, people start getting confused as to who did it. And once they start getting confused as to who did it, the generation comes into their system. So that's why I told Cyrus, I have done all of these things, and I want you to know that I am God, there is none other. You did not do it. Your gods did not do it. Your might did not do it. Your power did not do it. That's what I'm trying to say. God wants us to know him and ascribe to him the greatness due his name. Please, I hope you're following me here. So that's why he came here and said, I am God, there is none other. Now, there's an important thing here. Why would he be saying that? Because many people try to pretend to be. Nebuchadnezzar mistakenly thought he was. There's one film I saw many years ago. I can't remember the name for sure now, but also it's based on Greek mythology. I think it was one of these, well, it became a Greek god later. He was a warrior, a king. One day he defeated one of the nations, and he went and bragged on the seashore. He said, I, Odysseus, I'm a powerful warrior. I know. He said, listen, you gods, I do not need you now. What was he saying? I am God in this situation. Sometimes many gods are there. They don't mind sharing the glory. Are you getting my point? For example, Odysseus realized that he was not the god of thunder. Odysseus realized that he was not the god of the wind. But he said, the god of battle, that is me. But God said, I am God, there is none other. You see, what are you talking about? Didn't you know in your life is very practical? These are practical things. Many times, you know, sometimes when I hear, listen to this, very important. When I hear Christians make decisions, I hear it all the time. What are you doing? Let me go to where I can make it in life. What you are saying, listen to me, this is a matter of fact. What you are saying is geographical location is God for prosperity. Listen to me, if you are listening to this, wherever you are listening to me from, if you made a career choice, a location choice because of prosperity, you have ascribed the God of prosperity, the name, to a physical place. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Let me tell you one thing God likes to do for his children. Disappoint them. You apply for a job, good job. You are so qualified for it. But God looks at your heart. He says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. So he knows why you are doing what you are doing. You have made up your mind. Mobile is God when it comes to prosperity. So you apply, you study, you do everything. MTN is God when it comes to prosperity. You call everybody that you know that's connected, that knows somebody that is there, who has, do you understand my point? And you know, even you, you'll be surprised. Has God ever collected something from you before? He has collected things from me before, many times. Some of them I volunteered and I offered him, said, do you want it? If you want it, let me know. And I went to sleep or whatever. I woke up and the thing was gone. And I looked for it and I didn't find it. And I smiled to the Lord, you took it. Thank you very much. It's okay. Sometimes valuable things. It's very easy to pray that God, if you don't like this, you understand, take it. It's not a joke. He answers those prayers. He has answered me many times. In fact, I can remember them in this life. He has answered me many times. Sometimes God comes out to disappoint his children. Why? He realizes something inside their hearts. He's saying, this is God. So he comes to them to say, I am God and there is none else. This is a very important issue. Because there are so many small, small gods crawling around. Sometimes the certificate in your hand, you give it a small title, God. God of prosperity. God of breakthrough, God of increase. Many people listening to me, that is why everywhere you have applied the job for, with that certificate, you haven't gotten it. The certificate is not bad in itself. But when you start looking at it, it's God. God said, for this boy, doesn't get the point. Certificate is just proof that you went to a school. It doesn't mean you did the right thing, though. Oh, no, it doesn't mean you did the right thing. Some certificates are proof that you are a disobedient child. Yes. And then God looks at that certificate, said the angel, see that certificate? Anytime you see it, know this boy, know the hear word. The day you repent, the house will burn, and the certificate will go with it. It happens. One of the major things that God does for his people is frustration. The Lord just one morning call some angels. Anybody in a frustrating mood today, two angels will say, yes, sir. See that girl? Frustrate her for me. So, you know, the Lord is very good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's a good God. He never, ever does anything bad to his children. So anything that appears bad is a good thing he's trying to do. It will look bad. It's a good thing he's trying to do. Sometimes some people are so smart. They think their intelligence is the key to breakthrough. There's no interviewer we attend. If I open my mouth, they will know I'm smart. My sense is God. My brain is God. My God can open doors for me. So God said, now foolishness. You know, foolishness is bound up where? In the heart of God's children too. Not only human children. God's children too have foolishness. So God said, I will never leave you alone. When God said, I won't leave you or forsake you. People think that it only means that I will always protect you. God means that if you ever misbehave, I will never forget to beat you. I will never leave you or forsake you. No, I can prove it. He says that he that the Father loves, he does what? He chastises. So when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, as long as I'm your father, get ready. We'll just tell some angels, you see that girl? Say, yes, frustrate her for me. Everywhere you get to, and raise your shoulder with your certificate, or with your brain, your intelligence. Young man, you go for an interview. Young woman, as soon as you finish talking, and you are so happy you performed well, a spirit will possess the chairman of the panel. And that spirit will just make him ask, where are you from, sir? Say, I'm from Enugu. Eh? Which part of Enugu? Is an Enugu man? You say, I'm from Oji River. The man says, Oji River, which family is your own? You don't know what is going on. One spirit is provoking him. He is reminding him of his friend he trusted, who they went into business together. And after they signed the deal and signed everything, money began to flow in, the boy disappeared with the first installment of everything they made. And you don't realize, I know, oh, the spirits. Sometimes they finish, you leave, and you're feeling very happy. You say, God is so good. You know, he's even an Enugu man I met there. Praise the Lord. Ah. When they are considering, say, oh, that young girl, that young guy did very well. Yeah, everybody says yes. He said, my brother, I don't trust these Ojiriva people. That's the end. You'll be looking at yourself. You will be, when the day the result is coming out, you are so sure. You just get there. They look at it, they didn't take you. They wanted to employ. And when God wants to do you in, he'll make sure that you are only six that applied for the job and they took five people. You are the sixth person they did not take. You know what he's trying to prove to you? I am God and there is no. Don't learn wrong lessons from it. Everyone has in this country, there is so much, you can't call it tribalism. Both of you are from Enugu. Oh, you now call it now? There's Ojirivarism. You won't know what else to call it. The fact is that God said, let me frustrate a child of mine whose eyes are locked in the wrong place. That's what I said to us before. Anytime anything that appears like strength that you have is showing up as confidence, is building confidence in you. Don't just ignore it. Carry the thing. Say, Lord, you know I'm strong in this area. You know I'm very smart. You know I have a PhD in this area. You know this is the key to breakthrough as far as human beings are concerned. I want to repent before you that in fact, this is reason why I should fail. Say it clearly to him like that. And say, I'm asking for breakthrough, Lord, so that, at least, based upon your love, give him things that you know from scripture, that is because you are God. My certificate is not God. Like I keep on telling people, the reason why you have a certificate is simply to prove that you went to school, and the reason why you went to school is because you went to learn. You know, I've heard stories of those who did not, but they have, in fact, good story, Ajilu Tuno. He didn't have a certificate. He said, I'm a self-taught engineer. Maybe he couldn't get a job in Mobil. Maybe Julius Berger would not have given him a job if he applied today. But he built a company that in today's dollars would have been worth billions of dollars. Why? He had the learning. So that's all. Just go and learn. But after that, you don't keep your eyes on anything you have as a key to breakthrough. So that's why God said, I am God and there is no other in that verse 5. Why is he emphasizing that? Because many things pretend like they are God. A country rises up, pretends to people like it is God. There are many gods of prosperity. There are many gods of the future of children. You know, like, apostles, you know what they call the God of future of children? This is what your wife delivered for Nigeria. You are not serving the God of the future of children, the fake God. What is the fake God? People want to have children. And they are see, like I keep on saying, you can have your children anywhere you like. But you must not utter a word of blasphemy when you are doing that. You want to deliver in Burundi, fine by me. If your wife is pregnant, and you decide that the place where my wife should deliver is Bujumbura, that's in Burundi. If you decide that it's Kathmandu, fine. Anywhere you like, there's no problem. You say, why? I want my wife to be seeing the mountains as she's in labor. Fine. That we always dreamt of the white-capped mountains. It will just make labor more interesting. And God has given you money that you have nothing more serious to do with it. Go. It shall be well with you. Mm-hmm. But this is blasphemy. To say I'm doing this to give my child an opportunity in life, you have sinned and you need to repent. Let us call a spade and stop pretending that they are all agricultural equipment. You know, are you getting my point? Call a spade, or like somebody said in an, is it NMPC? They call it manual digging machine. Why? They want to quote for 100,000 for one spade to steal government money. Instead of calling it a spade, they say it's a manual digging machine. What else was it going to be before? Let's call the spade a spade. Human beings wake up every morning just be blaspheming. The country your child was born in can be the reason why that child will be mediocre for life if he does not repent of the foolishness of the parents. What I've told you is not a joke. If you want your children to prosper in life, God, listen, we have sat down and analyzed the scripture again and again and again and again. I was telling one story, one of our brothers told me, watch that. Stevie Wonder, he talks on a program called 20 Feet from Stardom. And Stevie Wonder looked and said, listen, after looking at everything, that is, let me summarize using my own words. I have seen extremely talented people who were backup singers for singers, you know. They are there in front. That is, the stars are in front, and this fellow is behind. That's why I said 20 feet from stardom. And they did this for years. They could not launch their own album successfully. They are very good. Then you see out of nowhere, somebody who is not half as good releases an album. And the whole world is dancing to the music, and the thing is selling in tens of millions. He said, it is as if stardom is giving to you. That's what he said. I said that the other day that if you live long enough, my pastor used to say, you will discover the word of God. Stevie Wonder looked at it and discovered time and chance happens to all men. Just looking at the music industry. I quoted for you what Harrison Ford said. He said, no one can rightfully take credit for anything. He said, there is luck and there is grace. He said this because he hit stardom as an actor after he gave up. He tried it for years. It did not work. He became a carpenter. And then one day they offered him a role. He did the role, and that one he hit. He said, no one can rightfully claim credit for anything. The best footballers are still in their villages. I hope you know that. No, that's a matter of fact. They are not in the European League. Messi is not the best player in the world. He's not. I still remember the days of Marco van Basten. Young guy, 20-something. Terrific player. Then somebody injured him. He never recovered from it. All these laws of somebody's moving, you can't tackle, they wrote it because of Marco van Basten. He's a terrific player for Holland. Then one World Cup, they tackled him wrongly and the knee never recovered. Many of you have never heard of Marco van Basten. You started watching football recently and said, what is Marco? Marco what? The best footballers are still at home. They are still at home. They are coaching secondary school and they are not being paid regularly. And they will look at, give me one Nigerian reigning guy. They look at Mikel Obi and say, Mikel, now wow. And you remember that when they were playing in secondary school, Mikel did not meet the first 11 of their secondary school, this thing. But look at it now. Then those who do not know, they will now go and go to an ignorant DB wearing a suit, pretending to be a prophet. And I will now say that there are destiny destroyers holding your destiny down. Needed in the city, but tied in the village. Escape from witchcraft pot. You've seen all of those posters. You'll be telling them lies. Those guys will now turn around and say, Satan is God and there is none other. He's the one that has the power to hold back my destiny. A witch is God in that area. She is the one that has the power to hold back my destiny. And when I get up and start binding the power of witches, and they pray, but anytime they pray, you hear the word witch, enemy, 50 times before you hear God once. That's, listen, if you want to check whether you are praying to God or you are fooling yourself, check the number of times you describe God and the number of times you describe your problem in your prayer. If the number of times you describe God, I don't care whether you are rebuking the problem. If the number of times you describe God is less than the number of times you describe your problem, then you are praying wrongly. As I begin to pray, any power fighting my destiny, die by fire. It's a very stupid prayer. Check how people pray in the Bible. They started with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, yeah. Whom shall I fear? They started by magnifying the name of God. Do you know where your placenta is? And it's prayer you want to start. I like one thing, Corey Blake and some other ministers have said different times. Stop talking to God about your problems. It's enough. Start talking to your problems about God. I was teaching here, advice some time ago, start this practice. I do it off and on. I remember sometimes, I forget sometimes. Just sit down and start talking about God. Let's give money as a practical example. If you're broke, look for the last alert from your bank, email or text alert. Take that as a sign of your bank account. And don't talk about God, this is the end of the year of my suffering. This suffering is too much. I suffered last year, I suffered the year before. My grandfather suffered, my father suffered. I heard that my auntie also suffered. Suffering has been in my family. This suffering will not kill me. There's an end to suffering. I've said suffering like 8 times now. Yeah. You heard the word God once. Say, I'm going on a 40-day fast so that this suffering will come to an end. There's no how I must overcome this suffering. This suffering is too much. This is the year of my breakthrough. This suffering is too much. It must come to an end. Any power binding myself, my suffering. Is it binding my suffering? Any power withholding my freedom. This year, you will hear, it's altar versus altar. I want you to know. Have you seen all of this talk? You've not mentioned the name of God 2 times. Just once at the beginning. What should you do? You look at that account. Say, let's talk. You don't hold the power. The power belongs to God. He is God and there is none else. A job is not God. My natural skill is not God. Human connection is not God. Prosperity comes from God. He is the God that makes prosperity flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He is the shepherd. He is the supplier. He is my father. He is the one that sent Jesus, my Lord, to die for me. Let me tell you about Jesus, my Lord. He was rich. Yet, for my sake, he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. You have talked about God 10 times. You have not mentioned the problem once. And believe me, bank accounts have ears. The major problem I've seen in today's Christianity is that people are taught to ascribe the name God to witches. And that's why people are more afraid of witches than they are of God. That's not a joke. Most, look, average Christians who go to all these fire churches, they have more respect for witches than they have for God. That's not a joke. Why are you sick? The witches say I should be sick. Why are you sick? They are fighting my destiny. Why is it that breakthrough has not come? Those who are the destiny withholders, we are going to fight them. What you have said without realizing that you have said clearly, those people have power over your life more than God has. Meanwhile, God said, guys, listen, I am God and there is none else. That's the reason why God had to introduce himself. Because many things are pretending. The other day we preached about magnifying the Lord. And what provoked it that time was that I got tired of hearing people magnifying Islamic headsmen, Islamic agenda. I found that at a point in time, more Christians were more afraid of Islam. Instead of them be feeling sorry for people who are in darkness, they were afraid of them. So every little thing, the God that can kill our destiny is about to kill us, as far as they are concerned. They now tell you, you know, annoying stories. They start annoying your system. What do I mean by annoying your system? Turkey was a Christian country. And then Islam came and took it over. Christians need to arise and unite and make sure Buhari does not win the election so that Jonathan can win. Why? Because Turkey was a Christian country. They start telling you, oh, in Asia Minor. And you know the truth? No lie in it, oh. Paul, they'll tell you where Ephesus is in Turkey of today. They'll tell you of Philadelphia that Jesus talked about is in Turkey of today. They will tell you, they will mention all of those things for you. They're all in Turkey of today. What happened? Many years later, it's an Islamic country. Why? Are we going to let it happen in Nigeria? Christians who join politics will now stand behind a Christian candidate. Woe to him who trusts in flesh. Yeah, that's the word of God. That's why Christians have war all the time when they start trusting in things like that. What are they saying? When you make statements like that, you are saying Islam is God. Their God is God. And not God the Father of our Lord Jesus. You say, Bank, what are you saying? I'll tell you. Islam did not take over Turkey. God gave them up. And Jesus warned them. He said, go back and do the works you did at the beginning. Otherwise, I will come and remove your candlestick. When he removed it, every other thing came inside. It's when Ichor has budded that they can walk inside. It's true. You know what they call Ichabod? Yes. While the glory abides, nobody will come near. It's when God has rejected people that they come and take over. It is not like they have power. If God has not rejected the people, it is not possible they can't take it over. Those stories, are they okay? Up to a level. Know what to do. What are you supposed to do? Go to the book of Revelations. He said, one, I'm not going to read them in details now. One of the things he said, love one another. Stop tolerating wrong doctrines. If you find Jezebel in the church pretending to be a prophet or prophetess, expose her and drive her away. Excommunicate those who commit adultery, whatever that thing was supposed to mean, with her. Drive them away from the midst of you. Love one another. Stand in the time of trial. Make sure your faith does not fail. Do that, nobody's taking over Turkey. Why? Because he's God and there is none else. That's why he said to Israel, how can one chase 1,000? And when he was saying it, we must get the context. He was saying that when Israel will sin against me, I will give them over into the hands of their enemies. He said, you will now see one enemy chase 1,000 Israelites, and two enemies will chase 10,000 of them. He said, why will one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000? He says, because their God gave them up. So if you are quoting that scripture, that's what he was talking about. He said, how is it that the one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000? And many will flee at the sound of a few. He says, because their God gave them up. But those who don't know who the real God is, they now say, you know, that Satan is the God of this world. It means he's ruling everything. No, it doesn't mean it at all. Satan being God of this world means that's what this world is worshipping. That's who they are following. The earth remains the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he remains the ruler in the affairs of man. The only person I've seen analyze that thing very well, two people now, I think I think Derek Prince also did that. Actually, I found out British preachers, you know, historically, that's what I've observed, they've been very, very good at analyzing scripture. American preachers are very, very sensational. Very, very sensational. They are inspiring, quite all right. They make you want to fly. But when you want balance in your life, turn to a British preacher. I heard David Pawson teach it. He said clearly, the only reason why Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews and other minorities and all of that, was because God gave them up. He said there was nothing Hitler did to the Jews that God did not promise. In fact, when he taught that, he said, God is a God who fulfills promises. That was the topic of his message. He wants to explain to you that God fulfills promises. He fulfills promises to bless, and he fulfills promises to curse. And when the time came, and they did everything wrong, according to the words that he gave to Moses, he said, there was nothing that Hitler did to them that God did not promise. Once, I was listening to Bible on CD, and the man narrating part of it, he said, when he was describing what will happen to them when the judgment of God comes against them, he said, the sight you will see will drive you mad. That's how he said it. And there is nothing that they saw, all right, that God did not describe. They saw things that made them mad. The many Jews who survived the camps, they were never normal again. Some of them finished, they didn't believe in God again. Many of them, they became atheists. They said, there's no God. He said, if there was a God, we said we are the people of God. Why was it not on our side? They didn't take their scriptures to see that this was what God said would happen. And it was not the first time it was happening. The Romans did it to Jerusalem 70 years after Jesus left them, according to the word of the Lord. When I was hearing David Pawson teach that thing, he said something which, of course, the way a lot of Christians, including him, analyze the promise of God to Israel and all of that, we differ a lot. We differ because I believe that any promise of God that you want to interpret, you must interpret in the light of Christ. Once I don't see you interpreting in the light of Christ, I know you don't know what you are saying. That's why I don't agree with many of you. But listen, there was something he said, which is the only person I've ever heard say it. And he was preaching, he said, what is the lesson for the Jews? He said, check the word of God, obey it, otherwise what happened to you in Germany will happen to you inside the land of Israel. He said it will happen again. You know, Christians talk as if Israel is so well protected now by America. Look, I said in my prosperity I will never be moved. That's what David said. When you get to that point, he said, listen, your foot is already about to slip. The same America that is defending you may become your tormentor tomorrow. So forget that thing. We are saying that it was not the devil. That's what we are trying to say. It was God the judge. He said, I am God and there is none else. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's not only good things he does. All right? For that reason, be careful that you do not ascribe the glory due to his name to anybody else. If God gives a man over to the power of witches, rebuke the witches from now till tomorrow, there's nothing you can do. But if a woman humbles herself under the mighty hand of God, then they can resist the devil. Are you getting my point? You have to first of all humble yourself. God is God. That's why he said, I am God, there is no other. Many things are trying to pretend to be God. And he said, my people, I want you to recognize my works in your life. I want you to know exactly who I am. Last time I explained it, that we need to go back and read our scriptures. Just see who God is. Just see the works he has done. So that when we turn around and we want to pray about things, we don't start fighting people that don't have power, the power belongs to God. That's what I've been trying to teach to people. We need, because you see, that recognition is what I'm teaching today. He said we must go after it aggressively. In John chapter 6, we read it last time. He said, you seek me, not for, he said, because you've ate free food. Not because you have come to recognize that God indeed, I'm paraphrasing now, all right, is in me. Now, they were seeking. He said, labor, therefore, he said, for the food that endures to eternal life. And what I'm saying is that that's eternal life discovery, which we said is by the knowledge of God. It comes through labor. I was saying, in trying to obey the words I was teaching, I took my Bible, I began to underline. I began to underline parts of the scriptures that the works of God, all right, was described, and the name of God was described. I went to the book of Revelation. Very interesting. When I got there, my people, I almost called Lord everything. Because, like, one in three verses, you will find God described again. Let me just give you a few examples. Last time we read Psalm 136. I'll just read a few. Then I'll go to something that I want to end with today. All right? Just to take it in context, let's start from verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, grace to you and peace from... Now, listen to this. He has begun to describe the name of God. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. That's the name. When it says, David said, I want to, the one thing I have desired, all right, is to come into your temple, to behold your face, and meditate upon your perfections. I think, was it God's word we used last time, or good news? These are the things we said we are supposed to meditate upon. If you hear a man say that, like, Nietzsche, the philosopher, atheistic philosopher said, that God is dead, you will laugh and say, to him who was, who is, and who is to come. That's your answer. Listen, every situation of life has the answer coded already in the scriptures. Yes, these are the perfections of God. Let's continue reading. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now notice verse 5 now. And from Jesus Christ. Remember God and the Lord Jesus. This is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. Remember, being God, many people recognize that there is a God, but they don't realize that there is none else. They know there is Creator God, but they don't realize that the prosperity God is the same God. There is Creator God, but advancement is based upon my certificate and where my children are born. I want to give my children a chance in life. So what do? I look for a geographical area to tie their origin to it and say that's a chance in life. That's foolishness in life. There's not a chance. Let me not start here. Let us just continue reading the scriptures. Many people, like I was saying, they realize that there is a Creator God, but they don't realize that he's the same God as a God of prosperity. He's a God of the future of your children. These are names you should call him. You should recognize him. The God of the future of my children. Everything is in the Bible. You will see, we're going to get there in a moment. Verse 5, he said, I'm from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, that's the name, who bears witness to the truth, that's his name, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, this is one thing I love so much. He said, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. That is an act of Christ. That is one thing he has done. That is how he is described. To him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. Let's continue reading. And has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm jumping some verses, okay? Go to verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. I am the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I ask myself, Why does God go through all of this to describe himself? Why didn't he just come to John? John, I'm your God. Sit down. Write these things down. I hope you're getting my point here. Yeah. Why didn't he just come to John? Say, John, I'm God. Sit down. Let's talk. Or just say, John, bring out your paper and pen and write. No, we sit down and describe. He would sit down and describe. What am I understanding from that? It tells me many things will have been obscuring the sight of John from knowing the truth. For example, Nero, Caesar, those days persecuting him. Somebody carried John and put on the island of Patmos. So God came to tell him, this is not the beginning of your life. It's not the end. I am the beginning and the end. Forget Caesar. Are you getting my point here? If you ever get fired from a job, let me tell you how to react. Don't go and say, God, I never miss paying my tithe. Why do you want my life to be tight now? God, after all, I have served you. Anytime they come for offering, I'm number one in front. If my first fruit was not complete, should have said so. Do they have to fire me? Say, God, let us negotiate. If you will restore my job, first 2 months salary, you alone. Please tell your neighbor for me. That is foolishness. Warn the person, that is foolishness. You should react like this. You get to him when they have sacked you. Say, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the one who is, who was, and he is to come. My destiny is in his hands. Believe me, Christians need to learn to pray. Oh, they need to learn to pray. That's why God, you see, I was reading this Bible. I found out that the Lord loaded the scriptures with a description of himself and ascribing glory to his name. Because many times, in fact, pastors these days, many of us, they should line us up and flog us very well. Why? We take glory away from Christ every day. We actually preach that the devil is in charge of this earth. We preach it. That the devil is in charge of the earth. Why? That until Adam's lease wears away, the devil is the president of America, the president of Nigeria. Why? It is on this earth. So the devil is in charge of the world. That is one thing that God warned John. He said, I am the beginning. I am the ending. The Alpha. The Omega. He said, what about when things are not going right? It's very simple. It is called the anger of the Lord. He even said it. He said, I am God who has indignation every day. There are people annoying me every day, and I punish them every day. That's one of his names. And that's why when Israel will sin and they want to repent, they say, Lord, why have you taken our sin and kept it in the light of your countenance? They understood that nobody has power against us if God is on our side. That's so the amount of power they don't have is the degree to which God is withdrawn from their side. That's all. That's why you read through the books of the former dispensation. You read through the history of Israel. They will tell you, if a man did not intend to kill another man, but God only gave him by chance into his hands. You don't know what by chance. I'm just adding by chance for you to understand. That is, a man is cutting a tree, and the tree falls down, and he kills another man. He didn't know the man was there. They will tell you that God gave him into the other man's hands. Israel was taught to reason like that. Why? Because the power of life and death, they were taught, was with God. I hope you're getting my point here. Yes, they understood. You know, when Christians now came, we understood in part. But we now wiped everything away. Say the people of Israel did not understand that there was a devil. That is the devil that killed that man. The devil does not kill anybody until God authorizes him to kill. The devil has to go to God and plead for the power to kill. That's it. Look, that's what happened in the life of Job is the principle all the time. Let's read a few more of that. I will now go to a place where I'm going. If you go down to verse 12, Then he now began to write. He said, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." Now notice verse 13. "And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, which when it had been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in his strength." Now this was Jesus he was describing. And then when Jesus was going to describe himself, because John fell down at his feet in verse 17, Jesus now decided to describe himself. He said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Now notice this. "The living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." Listen, that is your Jesus that's been described here. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, I continue to read this book of Revelations. You go to the verse of chapter 2, he was described. You go to verse 8, he was described. Verse 12, he was described. Verse 18, he was described. Verse 23, he said, "I am he who searches the minds and hearts." He was described. You go to chapter 3, first verse, he was described. Seventh verse, he was described. He kept on going like that, and like verse 14, he described himself. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. "I also overcame," he said in verse 21, "and sat down with my Father on his throne." That's Jesus being described. Please, you see where I'm going in a moment, all right? I just read through the Bible. I decided to start marking. I decided to start marking. It will talk about Jesus, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has overcome. So as to open the book and his seven seals. Then you notice the lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which he says are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he kept on describing the lamb. "Worthy are you," chapter 5 now, verse 9. "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Emphasis being that Jesus was worthy to take the book and break its seals. These are descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bear all of this as I'm saying in mind. All right? Now, I've just given an example of some things that I did. I just went through the Bible, started marking this. You know, the Lord helping me. I intend to go from the beginning, Genesis to Revelation, marking it. Marking it. I think we should thank God for digital Bibles. Otherwise, I'll have bought a physical Bible and call it the book of the name of the Lord and the glory of his name. Are you getting my point here? Very important. You see why it's important. Go to the book of Numbers chapter 6. There's something I've been saying again and again. When God wants to give you control in life, he doesn't teach you scientific methods. He gives you his name in that area. What the Lord has been doing at different times is to reveal himself to people. Why does he do that? In fact, before you go to that number chapter 6, all right? If you have opened to it, hold it there. But quickly flip over to Exodus chapter 6. You will see something. Exodus chapter 6. What the Lord has been doing from time and is still doing till now is to reveal himself. That is how we become what we are supposed to be. That is how we can serve him effectively. That is how we can do for him what we are supposed to do in this life. Without that, we can't do anything. Are you getting my point here? Without him, we can't do anything. When we're talking about abiding in him, these are the things we are talking about. Are you getting me? These are the things we are talking about. What God has always done is to reveal himself to people. That's why Abraham will build an altar and he give it a name, Jehovah Nissi. That was Moses, all right? That was Moses and Joshua. Abraham will build an altar and give it a name, Jehovah Jireh. Look, that's to let you know a face of God they had come to understand. That's how people gain control in life. Like I was saying, you want anything you want to bless your children as an example. It's not time to, you know, people will gather money. Let me send them abroad for education. If they can get abroad, go abroad for education, you know, they come out with a master's degree or a BSc from university, you know. Like Yinka was saying the other day, he told somebody, listen, they're full grown now. Gone are those days. Oh. Yeah. It's not those things that we need. People will sell land. Why? Their wife is pregnant. Why should the pregnancy of your wife dispossess you of landed property? If you want to give offering, give offering. Are you getting my point? Why? They say so that you can go and born in America. Listen to me, I'll say it to you clearly. It has no meaning. It is as good as a boy born in Burundi. If God is blessing the one in Burundi, the one born in America will work for him. Please, let's tell ourselves the truth. Oh. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Don't think you have done your child a favor because you managed to squeeze your wife to go and give it to him in, where now? In Canada. Did you say Singapore? Those ones will not, they won't give you citizenship. All those from small islands, they guard their citizens jealously. Switzerland is the worst of them all. Even your children, if you were born there, immigrants who live there, give birth to children there, the children are not Swiss citizens. And they hold their own tight. Recently, they are now making noise. They should liberalize it. I say, everybody go home. What's all this noise you are making? God gave you a place where you can go and fight. It's called your father's land. You can get there. This one is my own. But what am I going to say? Let's remove our eyes from those things. I feel so prophetic. It will disappoint you one day. So people talk about, I told you before, be careful what people call open doors. Many of these open doors are what? Open traps. Because everything that's open can either be a door or a trap. If traps are not open, they can't catch anything. What happens is a matter of fact. For a trap to catch, you know what it does? It opens. So when you see an open door, check, ask, were you the one that told me that Sam Adeyemi said that anytime you see a door that's open, enter, don't close the door first. Check whether it has handle behind. There are many times you open a door, you close it, you find out there's no handle inside. And the prince, I was listening to him, he said, be careful what you take your children into. He said, Lot took his children into Sodom. He couldn't bring them out. He said Lot was the one that carried his family into Sodom. He said time to bring them out. He did not have the power. So the prince said, be very careful. That's just what I'm talking about. Too. If you notice, I'm not talking about this is right, this is wrong. If it is like, oh, I want to go and, like I said, I want my wife to be feeling the breeze, the cold breeze coming down from Siberia as she's delivering in Russia. Why? It has always been the dream of my heart. Please have fun. But the God of the future of your children is the same God and there is none else. And that God does not need you to be in UK before he can give you breakthrough. All the testimonies that are only engineered by good roads and constant power, that's not the true God. The true God creates, you know, when he sees darkness, he says, light, be. That's what he is like. If God needs the environment to be cool, perfect, before he blesses you, he's on leave. He has filed his power. An angel is acting for him. He's not feeling well. He went to London for treatment. I've told you. You have an acting God handling your affairs. If God says, if your environment is not perfect, I can't bless you. So God, he said, God, when are you going to get well? Yes. Because the guy talking to me right now is an acting God. Yes, I'm telling you. If your God needs the environment to be perfect before he can bless you, he has running stomach. Or he's asleep. Of course, this God I have described, he's not the father of my Lord Jesus. You know that. Yes. It's not. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus, looks at me and says, Banky, come. Endure hardship as a true soldier. I don't need the environment to be perfect before me and you can work together. He looks at me and says, come, out of where everything is built up, follow me to a land I'm going to show you. And there I will make your name great. That's the God I'm used to. I said we should open somewhere. Exodus chapter what? 6. I wanted to bring out something. You see where I'm going, no? Just my plenty talk. I'm not confused at all. In fact, my head has never been clearer than it is today. I was saying to you, no, really, our God wants us to just know him. You know, there's a way you know somebody. One day somebody said I said something. I was told my wife said, my husband, no. He didn't say it. No, but that's what this person said. He said, my husband, no. She picked the phone and called me. This person said, you canceled her like this. Is that so? I said, did I smoke something? You know things I don't say. He said, I know. I just said, let me just confirm because somebody's arguing with me here. He said, my husband does not give such counsel. One day, a young man came up. We were doing a seminar here. I think one of our first or second seminar. Those early days of Cosmo FM. He came all the way from Nsukka for a seminar at night. Olayinka, do you remember? Without money and without where to, he asked mom and was nowhere to stay. So we're even feeling happy. Praise God, though. The world is working. People travel all the way from Nsukka to come at their seminar in Enugu. I mean, it wasn't the father. One guy came from, is it Kogi or Benue at that time? And he came to me and said, oh God, do with me anything you like. I have come. He had no plans for his life. Said so I should just control his life for him. If it's now, I have things for him to do. That time I was afraid. I sent him back home. Go home and go and tell what the Lord has done for you. So I wasn't too surprised. This guy came one that day from Nsukka. So they now said that, he said he wants to see Pastor Banky. He and his friend, two of them. They want to see Pastor Banky. So they said, what is it? He said, the head that I help people go abroad. Did you hear that? See why you are laughing. They want to go to the abroad. They came from Nsukka that they heard that once they just see me, or more, they are going to the abroad. When I was told that, like, somebody was trying to fool them. Somebody was trying to fool them. Or maybe the person said, okay, go. When you will hear words. They obviously are two boys who wouldn't walk. They were waiting for a breakthrough to go abroad. Somebody said, okay, go and meet Pastor Banky. He will help you go abroad. And they came from Nsukka. Sat down from the same at the end, they said they wanted to see me. That I will help them go abroad. Hey, God, though. Have mercy on you. The Lord is good. I mean, you know, where did that come from? That's how it is with God. You know, you know God to a particular level. There are things he says, God doesn't say that. That's what he's talking about. You just know the charge, the control he has over every aspect of your life. And that's why God likes to introduce himself again and again and again. He got to Israel and said, I am God, the Lord that heals you. That's the recognition. That is, he wanted them to know. So anytime there's sickness, don't be fooled. Don't panic. And being a doctor that I am, my own medicine doesn't know incurable. That's what God is saying. So he said, I am the Lord that heals. He introduces himself all the time. Let's quickly read this. We'll now get back to that Numbers chapter 6. He said in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, this is New Living Translation, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. Then God said to Moses, I am Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on the translation you are using, the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh or Jehovah, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under his terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I'm aware of my covenant with them. Let me stop here. Are you getting me? Now, there's something I want to bring out here. Now, when he said, I am the Lord, that is Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever translation you are using, he said, this is a name that Abraham did not know. This is a name that Isaac did not know. This is a name that Jacob did not understand. They all knew me as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Literally, well, I've heard some people say that it means the Almighty Breasted One. I provide it for them anywhere. I take care of them anywhere they go. But they did not understand me as a covenant-keeping God. That's the meaning of that word, Yahweh. He said, now that your people are in bondage, I need to reveal myself in another way. And that my name that you're about to see is the name of deliverance. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, for them to be delivered from bondage, they first had to understand the kind of God they were dealing with. That's how you operate with people. That's how you operate. Listen to me. If you move into any sphere of life and you don't recognize God in that area, you will stumble there. Men will threaten you. Listen, you know, there are things I just look back upon that in the scriptures, and I will just say to myself, there must have been hidden codes inside here that the Bible didn't write for us overtly, but they are inside them. What am I going to say? For example, Mishael, Azariah, and what's the name of the, Ananiah, three of them. When they were going to go into the fiery furnace, I just imagined that God appeared to them and told them, don't worry, I am the God of fire. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That I start fire and I quench fire. When they stood and said, oh, we will not bow, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace, don't worry about it. God's gonna... When a man begins to talk like that, he gets within, don't chop. No, when you wake up, you will just be opening your mouth and you just talk like that. You have seen something, you have eaten something. I am convinced. You see, you must understand, the Bible doesn't write many things for us. I gave as an example before. I said, I know God's character. When he said they should go and spy out the land, I said, Lord, this is not your character. Why were you able to go and spy out the land? Look at it. When they finished spying the land, look at what happened. And I kept on thinking. Then one day I got into Deuteronomy. And Moses said, you went to spy out the land because you asked. And God now said, I should let you go. But if you read it only in Numbers 13, you would think God just said, oh yeah, now go and spy the land. He said it was not God. That was Moses told them later. It was your opinion. It was your desire. In the same manner, you look through the scripture, somebody later on you discover some things. I am convinced now that, listen, sometimes you'll be wondering, will I have faith like this man? Don't worry. If God wants to sacrifice Isaac, he knows what to tell you. And if you say amen to the thing he tells you, your hand will carry Isaac, carry knife, carry rope. I say, Isaac, come, I want to show you something. You do that when you have come to know God. I am persuaded in the same, these men, they were not planning to bow down. I'm not saying they were planning to bow down. They had made up their minds at the beginning that we will follow this God in this strange land. Then when it was time to face the fiery furnace, the furnace heated 7 times. God just appeared to them, say, I'm the God of the fire. So let's go together. I hope you're getting my point here. I am the beginning of fire and the end of fire. You get what I'm saying? That's the revelation of God with which they step into the flame, and the flame could not hurt them. So when he was going to deliver these people from Israel, he said, let me tell you what I am. I am the God that remembers covenants and sweat if I have to. Of course, he doesn't sweat, but I will do everything I have to make sure that my covenant is kept. So that is a name that Abraham did not know. Isaac did not know that name. Jacob did not know it. Why? It was not necessary for their time. This is the time to activate the power in the name Jehovah. That's how the Lord operates. So he now says, now, he said, Pastor Banky, thank you very much. You said this thing before. Say, what is the purpose of today's message? Let's now go to Numbers chapter 6. After this, brethren, I believe many people listening to me, we pray differently. You know, for a very long time. Now, what I want to tell you, I will not be dogmatic about some of it. I'll tell you what I won't be dogmatic about, but I want you to see something. For a long time, there are English expressions that you read and you get used to them, but they don't really fit grammar very well. Like, the Lord bless you. They get as it be, if you think about it very well. Should have been, may the Lord bless you. I pray the Lord will bless you. Now, so when you say the Lord bless you, that's actually what you imply. But I thought about it. I said, why didn't he just write it like that? I'll tell you why they did not write it like that. Because that's exactly how it was written in the Hebrew. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. You see what I'm saying in a moment. No, verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. He says, so you shall, now this is where I'm going. He says, so you shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel. He did not say, so you shall invoke my blessings. Did you notice it? He says, so you shall invoke my name. Literally in Hebrew, it says, so you shall put my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. When I read this, I meditated upon it. I said, no wonder I didn't say, may the Lord bless you. He didn't say, modern translations will use the word, may the Lord bless you. But literally the Hebrew said like that, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. He said, when you do this, you are putting my name on the sons of Israel. And then I will turn around in turn and bless them. You know what? How I read it? Like I said, I won't be dogmatic about this. This is how I read it. He was saying to them in effect, if I want to bless this man, I will say blessing the Lord. Being kept the Lord. Increase the Lord. Favor the Lord. Protection the Lord. I'm saying it will not come from anywhere else. It will come from the Lord. That is, the name of the Lord is your blessing. The name of the Lord is your increase. The name of the Lord is your protection. The name of the Lord is your favor. He said, when I do that, when you do, I put his name of God upon him, then God will follow him about. I hope you're getting my point here. That when I do that, I will have put the name of the Lord upon him. You know what we do a lot of times? That we start, you know, as begging God. But God, what God said to Moses is that, put my name on his head. He says, thus you will invoke my name on his head. Now, that's why I said everything I said. So when you see things in the scriptures, he said, the Lord who loved us and washed us away, released us from our sins, and made us a kingdom of priests and kings to the Father. What is he saying? If you see somebody who is in bondage, who gives his life to Christ, you invoke the name of Jesus on his head by saying, the Lord who has broken the power of sin in your life, you recite it upon him. Next time the man sees iniquity will disappear. That's why Corey Blake and many other preachers said, stop talking to God about your problems. It's enough. Stop talking to the problems about God. It's not wishful thinking. My God, who is able? You know what I mean? This kind of, you are talking to the witch. Don't worry, my God is able. You know? No, I'm not talking wishful thinking. That's why you read through the scriptures. What the Lord used to do is just describe himself. So a man is going from here, traveling through difficult places. Maybe he has to cross. He hears news that his family is in distress, his wife, his children, and between him and his home is Sambisa Forest. And he's about to leave. You know, naturally, human beings are afraid. Boko Haram, no Boko Haram. Invoke the name of God that does great wonders on his head. And let him walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He will not need to fear any evil. That's why I read this. God said to them in effect, invoke my name in your life. Like I was saying earlier, why would my children be blessed? Go through scriptures. Find out what God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, has said concerning himself. And invoke that God upon your children. Listen to me, if you like, give birth to them in Kathmandu. They will rule America if necessary. That's why God is my witness. For many of you here know me enough. I will not spare $50,000 extra to give birth to my children in a strange place. It's not worth it. Look, it's not bragging. No. It's just not worth it to me. It's not.
is not what God in heaven, who I serve with all my heart, knows I'm not joking. It's not worth it. When my wife was pregnant for the first time, it was offered to her free of charge. She did not take it because she was told it will take many weeks before I see the baby. Because, you know, the baby, of course, you won't deliver today and travel tomorrow. She said, no, thank you very much. I'll go born picking for the next 6 weeks. Now put the phone near the baby. Let him hear my voice. Now we'll discuss. You know, my wife just said this matter of fact. Like, if they had said, you will come back next week. She said, no, Hala. Like I said to you, now trip. I want to go and see snow while I'm delivering. It's good. Bye-bye, husband. I want to go and hold snow to help me. Not a problem. No, really, really. But she was just told that she will stay behind her bro for like, is it 2 months or 3 months, they said, I've forgotten how long, before you come back home. And her question was that, that's how long it will take before my husband sees his child? He said, yes. I said, forget it. I'm not interested. Her mother looked at her and said, you and your husband are strange people. People are very strange. And listen to, you know, she wasn't trying to act by faith. Though. She wasn't trying to impress anybody. Kingdom world like you and I know it today, all of us gathering here like this, it wasn't happening that time. I wasn't preaching to somebody to impress anybody. It was just that a young woman who was just like me did not think it was worth anything. It wasn't worth anything. So when, look, what my children did, I tell you all the time, I invoke the name of God upon their heads. I told my phone son flat. If I heard me use it to preach, even if I didn't tell him, he heard me preach. And he knows me well. What I preach and what I practice are the same things. It's not like daddy is preaching, oh, get home, we'll talk serious matter. No. Whatever I hear said here, the boy knows it's fine now. Yeah, he didn't. He said they are doing Cambridge lessons in their school. Say he wants to join. I call him. Do they pay for the Cambridge lessons? He said yes. I will pay for the Cambridge lessons. Yes. I said the answer is no. Went to school, told the teacher, you don't know my father. The guy is not planning to pay. No, he knows. Once I say no, one of them said they should bring, how much was it? He won 1,000 naira in school. 1,000. I forgot how many thousands I paid for school fees for the term. But they billed all of them. Is it 1,000 or 2,000? I said, I'm not paying. I wrote a letter to him, to the head teacher. I said, I told my son, give your head teacher that your father said he's not paying. What was it that they said went wrong that time? I have forgotten. The boy carried the teacher. 1,000 naira. Where's your 1,000? My father said I should give you a letter. Thank you. I'm sure the head teacher will say, which kind of father? Is this your father? It was when the teacher saw my wife next time that she explained to my wife why the children dare to pay the money. My wife now said, I beg, let the boy go and pay. That's when I agreed for him to bail. My wife even said that all his friends are doing. I said, when did we become, you know, when did democracy rule my house? I said, Cambridge. I said, oh boy, you are going to UNN. They don't need Cambridge qualifications to enter UNN. So all this stuff we are talking. It's not UNN you are going. I told him, you have a choice of 3 universities. Either go to UNN, UNIBEN, or Covenant University. But when JAMB came out, they said, you can't choose 2 federal institutions. I said, okay. So he mixed them up. It is not because of lack of money. If he dash me the money free of charge, I won't take it. Why? It doesn't mean anything. No, for me, it means what? Nothing. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I'm not trying to play down on somebody else's country and all of that. Honestly, God sees my heart. For me, it means zero. It has no meaning. So if it was free, if he had come to me that day, say they are doing Cambridge lessons, I said, how much is it? They say it's part of our curriculum. Hey, go ahead now, do it now. All of you now write Cambridge exam. They have a Cambridge exam, right? Some of you know now. Do they have a Cambridge exam? They do. What is the purpose of it? In case you want to go abroad. Why are you laughing? Yoruba man has a saying. Say the thing where you don't want chop, not sniff. So I don't want the rice, but let me just smell it. No, they say something that what you don't want to eat, why are you sniffing it? I mean, if the sniffing was free, it's even okay. I have to give you money to sniff Cambridge exam. No, what am I saying? Invoke my name on them. That's what he said. And that's what I've been talking about. That's why we read all of those things. There are problems that will be in your life. Enough of talking about the problems of the Lord. Go to that revelation we'll talk about. Like I was saying, no, I'm not saying you're open to it now, all right? I'm just saying. You have an issue like that, you just say, listen, don't disturb me. Let me read for you. Let me invoke for you the name of God, which is the name of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in that area. That's what we are talking about. Concerning the prosperity of my children, he has a name. And what did he say? When you want to pray for those children, he said, that's the literal Hebrew. He said, put my name on them. And I want to advise you today, give your child, good enough, we can have many names. Give your child a name that puts God's name on him. It's important. That's my reason. Look, that practice I advocated here some time ago, let me go by it again. There are times you just sit down and just talk about the Lord. You're not asking any question, you're not making any prayer request to. You just said, okay, sweetheart, sit down here. Let's talk. What do we want to talk? Let's talk about the Lord. In what area? What wonders of protection has he done? Okay? Start from Bible. Start in the Bible. From the beginning, find how he protected Abraham, how he protected this person, delivered David, delivered them, what do you call it? Israel through the power of Samson, through the power, using this man, what was his name now? Gideon, Jephthah, all of those things, Deborah, all those people that he delivered, all the great wonders that he did. Just talk about it. Bible stories. He's the God that did these great wonders. Then remember modern testimonies and talk about those testimonies. Do you know this is the same God that is our Father? Oh, let us worship this morning. So, Father, you are the God that does great wonders. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for salvation that we have in him. Thank you that we are in you. We are seated with Christ on your right hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Go about your business. You have put the name of God on your head. Do you get my point? What the world tries to do is to terrify us and make it look like something else is God apart from this, our God. They want to give us that impression that something else controls our life. And this is what I'm teaching today. Take your Bible, read through it. Now, you see what we are doing? We're not trying to make requests. We're just trying to get things right. That's a good one. We're trying to get things right. Like we've been studying Ecclesiastes. We have realized that promotion does not come from the East. It does not come from the West. We know that God is judge. And how did Solomon explain it in Ecclesiastes? He said, time and chance happen to all men. And what do we do as believers? When we are learning things, we learn what is right to do. We don't expect anything from them. People say, when you are diligent at your work, you're diligent at your work, next thing you'll be promoted, you'll be promoted, you'll be promoted. You read Solomon that diligent people, sometimes they get sacked because MD doesn't like the color of their ties. It's in the Bible like that. That's Ecclesiastes chapter what? 7. We say life has what? Traps. Sometimes men are trapped. So we know that. So we learn what is right to do and we do it consistently. When we want promotion, we go to Psalm 75. If I not know, that's the one we want promotion. No. We just go to Psalm 75 as a habit. We are not manipulating with the name of God for promotion. We are habitually declaring it. When people are tempting us, make sure you go to work early so that your guy will see you and be promoted. And then you refuse to do anything so a guy will see. Will you go to work early? Of course you will. But you also go when you are aware that he's gone on leave for 6 weeks. That's proof you are not doing as eye service. Then when everybody is declaring, this is how you get promotion, you now open your Bible. Not from the East, not the West. Comment or exaltation. What's the next line? God is judge. Say, my Father is judge. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, is judge. He is the one that lifts up one and he pulls down another one. I am not doing anything for eye service. Why? I have invoked the name of the Lord upon my career, I have invoked the name of the Lord upon my office, I have invoked the name, or I am invoking the name of the Lord upon the work that I do. God is judge. Do you make any request? Nothing. Just do your work and leave it there. God said, I will now turn around and do what? And bless you. That is what we are talking about when we say Christians should do what? Pursue the knowledge of God. I hope you've gotten my point today. I declare to you that favor will go with you.
Amen.
This week you are stepping into will be a week of greater favor than ever before.
Amen.
You will see the face of God clearer than ever before.
Amen.
You will know Him more than you ever did.
Amen.
Your confidence in the knowledge of God will increase in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make you walk in the knowledge of His will.
Amen.
You will walk in spiritual wisdom.
Amen.
You will walk in understanding.
Amen.
You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
Amen.
You will please Him in all respects.
Amen.
And you will bear fruit in every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Your Father, God, is your defender.
Amen.
He surrounds you. He protects you. He guides you. He guards you. He's a shield round about you.
Amen.
He's your light and your salvation.
Amen.
You will not fear anyone.
Amen.
He's a shield, the protection of your life. And you will have no cause to be afraid.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Economic hardship is not your portion.
Amen.
In the midst of the storm, you will float above the waters.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Every affliction, this is the word of the Lord concerning it. Himself took, that's the work He has done. We are describing the glory of His name. Himself took your infirmities and your diseases. And by His stripe, you have been healed.
Amen.
Every affliction in your body hears that word.
Yes.
We lift up the name of Christ above everything that is negative in your life.
Amen.
We say, by His stripes, you have been healed.
Amen.
He is the healing God.
Amen.
He is the healing God.
Amen.
He is the Lord your doctor. I lift that name above your head. I lift that name on top of you.
Amen.
I place that name on you.
Amen.
Your Father is your healer.
Amen.
And with Him, there is nothing incurable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because
of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless somebody on your left or your right.